This is the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Phillips.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast here on KESN1033.com. Thank you for joining us as we talk baseball, Rangers baseball, which has been sort of down lately, which we'll touch on here in a second. But first, I want to introduce my guest for this week's episode of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. He is also a podcast host here for KESN1033.com, a major baseball fan and the host of the Free-to-Play podcast about esports, the future of esports. The future is here, and the future of esports talk is here, Kevin Correa. Ooh. Kevin, thanks for joining the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast.
That's an introduction. Thank you, Taylor. Pleasure to be on here and on the glorious Rangers podcast. I want to say that's a very catchy tune you have going into the show. I just want to say the drums just make me feel pumped up and amped up to talk about mediocre baseball.
It's funny you say that because I have brought this up to Chris Gross, our producer for the podcast, and other people that hear the intro. I bet no one, if I walked around to 100 people and asked them to guess who that was, they wouldn't know. If I told you that was the band Gamma from the 80s, and the song is called Thunder and Lightning, they weren't like a very popular band. Like, it's a very niche, specific song.
That sounds like a Bill and Ted's like Wild Adventures
Older
band.
Than that. Like, oh, older okay. than that, like early 80s, like maybe, might even like the late 70s. I got to double check, but yeah, that I love Ronnie Montrose, guitar player. That's one of my favorites, and I like that song, but it's also, it shows you how I am very not in touch with our generation, but you are, because you're on the forefront of esports, which is taking over the sports scene.
I mean, as you said in the pre-show meeting, I'm ahead of the curve, apparently, according to you.
You're ahead of the curve. You are, while the rest of us are watching sports like, you know, frankly, baseball kind of falter in years lately, you're going on to the next thing, and we'll touch on all of that here in Most Interesting, our second segment. But of course, we have to start with what's been going on with the Texas Rangers, who have had just a rough go of things, especially coming off this weekend. So we're recording this on Monday, May 13th, Monday night. So we're fresh off a four-game sweep in Houston where the Rangers just got smacked around by the Astros, who, of course, are in first place in the American League West.
In fact, the series jumped them into first place, which is ridiculous.
They jumped, you know, they're now first place. They have a 6.5 game lead over the Angels. The Rangers have now fallen to 7.5 games back of the American League West, lost four straight. And Kevin, I think where we can start here first is what was really grabbing Rangers fans' attention early in a lot of April was that the Rangers offense was something people could be excited about. We've seen Joey Gallo, at least through the first month, he had an AL Player of the Week award. The offense was starting to really take off. The minor league signing of Hunter Pence has panned out nicely. But now we've seen in the last week or so this team go cold on offense, the pitching be what was really expected outside of Mike Minor. And I feel like now it's safe to say the panic time can start now for Ranger fans.
100%. Look at this, all right? Joey Gallo for the past week batting 118 with a .318 on-base percentage, OPS of .671. Struck out 12 times this past week. That's all in this past week. The offense is faltering hardcore. It's falling apart in this part of May. I don't really know if it's just a fault of, you know, pitchers being able to read Gallo better now that the season's kind of already progressed a month in, or if it's just that the offense is just streaky by nature. You know, I have Odor, Gallo, Guzman there. It's just all kinds of streaky, you know, home run or bust players, which is, it's disappointing to say the least that, you know, especially now that Delino DeShields got demoted to AAA all of a sudden.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Yeah, center field is now a problem, and you know, you could argue it's been a problem for a little while now because they've just been waiting for Delino DeShields to really piece everything together. And so now, as you said, Rougned Odor is really, I think that's where we could start far as the issues, because now his batting average for the season is at .137, his OPS is at .464, and in 95 at-bats this season, he has 40 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's, man, this whole team is like a Jenga block. It's just like you pick one and they're all going to topple. Either way, they're all looking bad Ruggie, though, man.
And we've seen some. We saw some failures in the field this past weekend series as well.
Like three errors from Odor and Andrews combined. That middle infield has not been looking good. Odor finally got on base at one point, then immediately got caught stealing to second in a very questionable call by Chris Woodward. No, I'll get into that later. But for now, it's just he finally got a day of rest yesterday for the first time in I don't know how many six days, six
something
awful
like that.
Awful days.
Yeah.
It's at some point you got to say, do we drop this guy to AAA?
And what's unfortunate is that we're coming off, so they trade Jurickson Profar in the offseason. And there was always that little voice in years past of, well, at least if Rougned Odor doesn't work out, there's always Jurickson Profar there. He was a top prospect at one point. You're going to put him there at second base. I know it's not his natural position, but you have Elvis Andrews at short. Then you can have Profar at second if Odor doesn't work out. Because we saw it last year. Like, look, people that may not know, and I'm sure they do, they listen to Rangers Insider and Rangers Postgame with Mike Peasley here on 103.3 FM. ESPN.
Shut up.
You produce that a lot, especially on the weekends, and you're up here for that. So you watch a lot of Rangers baseball, so you know full darn well how this Rougned Odor saga has gone, where we see him never put a full season together. He's had been demoted before in years past. Last year, the start of the season wasn't great. He really came alive there in the latter half of the second, for his standards, came alive in the latter half. He has had home run power before, but when you're looking at this year, 3 home runs, .137 batting average, which I understand batting average is not the tell-all stat. But
tell him the OPS.
.137 is pretty bad.
Tell him the OPS.
.464 OPS is
That's
still
disgusting.
One of the lowest on the team. It's not Jeff Mathis low, but if you're in the same conversation offensively as Jeff Mathis, that's all I really have to say.
Well, at least Jeff Mathis provides something on catcher, right?
Right.
Compared to Rougned Odor on second base, who has, 4 or 5 errors this season already?
Something like that, but look, you know as well as I do, as someone that watches a lot of Rangers baseball, it's just you want to see the young guys put it all together. Rougned Odor has to be one of those corner pieces there. And how many more years we got to talk about Rougned Odor piecing it all together?
Oh, man. How many times have we ever had a Rangers player come up and time after time we're always like, he's like 1 year away. He's 1 year away, or this is the year. If Martin Perez came up as a batter, he'd be Rougned Odor. I fully believe that, because Odor has shown the flash in the pan kind of. Oh, he can really do it this year, and he never does it. He never comes to fully blossom as a player.
So you're saying if Rougned Odor goes to the Twins, then he will find it and become a superstar just like Martin Perez right now.
You know what? 100%.
Gosh, it's.
I bet it on my mom. Okay, that's how much I want to say trade this guy or demote him or
something. So you're over Rougned Odor completely. You're ready to move on.
Hold on. I'm putting my
no,
carriage.
No, go
the horse.
With the hot take, Kevin.
All right. Trade.
Embrace the hot take.
Trade Rougned Odor. Sign Craig Kimbrell. Call it a season, and that's the Rangers in a nutshell for you.
So he's Kevin Correa, host of the Free to Play podcast. I'm Taylor Phillips. You're listening to the Rangers Wrap Up podcast here on KESN 1033.com. I want to transition from Rougned Odor to the pitching staff, where outside of Mike Minor, and I'm not going to hype this up as saying it was going to be an Astros type rotation with a Verlander and a Gerrit Cole, and it's going to be dominant in baseball.
Hey,
but
man. But it's a pretty bad rotation, to be fair.
It's what, the Astros?
No. Rangers.
That's what I'm saying. It's no one had any aspirations of this thing being top of baseball in rotation. But look, Mike Minor's had the best WAR among pitchers in baseball right now.
There's an argument that he's a Cy Young candidate at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not one to argue with that. So I'm going to take Mike Minor out of this. We'll get into him in a little more in a second as far as the trade value and what to do with him. But it really feels like it's just putting way more pressure on them to get things right in the farm system, pitching prospect wise. And I understand that Drew Smyly and Lance Lynn signed for a couple of years, so you're going to see Lance Lynn most likely. And you're Shelby Miller. These are all guys who I understand Drew Smyly and Shelby Miller coming back from injury, and we can maybe see how this pans out as the years go on. Because Mike Minor last year, same thing with him, when he's coming back from his shoulder issue. The second half and the first half were two completely different things. We ended last year great.
It's like the island of misfit toys, man. You just kind of jumble together a rotation, see what sticks, and then if somebody like Minor pops up, then the trade discussion starts.
But I'll ask you, so has the starting rotation, I'll even throw in Jose Leclerc and his issues at as the closer are now being demoted, because last time we did the podcast, this Jose Leclerc stuff was just kind of happening, and there was still some doubt where if he was going to be a closer or not. So now we know he is no longer the closer. They've gone to a Sean Kelly, Chris Martin tandem. Now Sean Kelly's on the IL, so Chris Martin's now your closer. Has the pitching been just worse for you watching it that you imagined before the season started?
I mean, I'm saying this based off of Sunday's game, 15-3 loss. So I think 100%.
Adrian Sampson, ladies and gentlemen.
Adrian Sampson with his, 10.80 ERA in the past eight innings. There you go, Adrian Sampson. Have yourself a game. This pitching is bad. This pitching, I don't know how else to say it's bad other than I'm just going to read off, these ERAs from the past week. Shelby Miller in seven innings, 7.36 ERA. OPS, opponents are batting 767 on an OPS for him, which is, not that great, not that bad, but it's not something that's conducive to a rotation that keeps scoring low. It's not conducive to a team that wants to score, sometimes they'll score three runs, sometimes they'll end up scoring 10 runs, but they're never going to be consistent. This offense does not help out the pitching at all, but it goes both ways. It's like, no matter which way you look at it, you're seeing a reflection of struggling pitchers, struggling offensive players, and, the Chris Doughtys of the world. Holy moly.
And the fact is that the pitching that they have, just in a sport and how baseball has transformed itself into 2019, where people are always calling out the offense for strikeouts, how it's a three true outcome league a lot, where it's a home run, a walk, or a strikeout, and there's historic strikeout rates. The Rangers have, tied with the Orioles, the worst strikeout per nine in baseball right now, which that doesn't play well for a team that is in such an offensive-minded division, when the Mariners can hit home runs when they're on. They start out the year with home run records in consecutive games. The Astros, with their perennially good offense. Even the Angels, having to deal with Mike Trout so many times a year, and Shohei Ohtani's now back. The Oakland A's were a playoff team last year, and right now sitting fourth place behind the Mariners, but they can always get hot and they get some of their pieces back. I think they're still waiting on Matt Olson, I believe, or Matt Chapman's still coming back for them. When you have a pitching staff that can't miss bats and has everything is going in play, you're going to get high scoring games, because they're going to throw strikes. It's not going to miss any bats. Hitters going to be able to square it up, time it up. And there you go.
And that goes back to last year when they had, the mentality of just ground ball pitchers. And the year before that, they wanted to keep that ball in play, keep it in the yard, and it ended up biting them in the butt, as it should, because once you get these balls in play with the three true outcomes, like you said, these balls are going to go flying out of the yard, or they're going to go, straight up for a double or extra base hits more often than not. It's a troubling sign, to say the least.
So they're off tonight. So they've come off where they've lost four straight. They've lost five of their last six as they split that road series in Pittsburgh. So they go to Kansas City tomorrow, Tuesday. So we're recording this on Monday night. So if you're listening to this on the Pod Hour on 103.3 FM ESPN on Saturday, we're a little behind. Normally I do this later in the week, but I wanted to make sure I brought Kevin in on an off day. And they go to Kansas City Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for a three-game set against the Royals, where, just an update on the Royals, they have 14 wins. They're 14-27. That is...
not a good team.
Not good. The Marlins are the worst team in baseball. You could argue the Royals are the second worst team in baseball between them and the Orioles. Easily need to take two out of three against Kansas City. I would argue to say you should get a sweep of them, because that's what's going to turn your season around. But I'll concede, considering how bad it's been and understanding that we didn't have high expectations for the Rangers to begin with, but the Kansas City Royals, you need to have two out of three, because then you come back and you get the Cardinals. Which, I don't know about you, I wish I could go out to these games. Are you going to try to make it out to one of these Cardinals games if you can?
I'll try to.
I don't know, you're probably going to be working them, but
odds are I'm going to end up producing these games anyways. But
that would be a good one to see, though. If you're a Ranger fan, I would suggest go see some NL Central. The Cubs were here earlier. The Pirates were here a couple weeks ago.
It's been like an NL Central road trip coming
through
here.
Year for them. Cardinals, yeah. And then after that, the Mariners. But I think And look, we'll hear from Chris Woodward right now, where he says they can't feel sorry for themselves, and you know, he has some comments after yesterday's loss to the Astros.
You always try to learn from something. You don't let it affect you. And I told our guys to enjoy the off day. You know, don't let this series define, like, you moping around the off day and feeling sorry for ourselves. Like, no, we got a job to do when we get to Kansas City, and, you know, go have some dinner and go hang out with your guys and enjoy the off day, because it's a tough game, and it's a tough, you know, this game's tough, and it's too long to worry about that.
I just want to bring up really quick. Turn off your cell phones in post-game interviews.
I was looking at you like that was your phone going off right now.
No,
wow.
Sir. Just keep your phones off in post-game pressers. Thank you.
Yeah. PSA. Yeah. PSA to media people. Airplane mode's a thing.
Thank you.
Do not end up on YouTube with Derek Jeter looking at your text messages because you're interrupting a press conference.
That was a great moment.
It's happened too many times in sports. But
yeah, Jeets.
And he talks about, you know, they need to enjoy the off day tonight. That would be tonight. And then before Kansas City. I just maintain that this is where Chris Woodward, this is where you have to face those challenges as a first-year manager, understanding you're already not dealt the best hands as a roster. This is how you make some real impressions among the fan base. If you can find where people are already checked out on this team right now because the NBA playoffs going on, they just were in the middle of Stars Mania up here in their playoff run. This is how you grab, I'll just keep it in DFW. This is how you grab eyes back. And if they can at least turn things back around and make it competitive and get out of the rut, that's what you want, because you want to keep people at least talking about, like, there's only so many people talking Rangers.
Exactly.
I'm one of them because of this podcast, but it is not an attention grabber right now. And I think for Chris Woodward, this is your first real test of getting your team out of a rut, handling the Rougned Odor situation and his slump. This is where you make your money as a manager and prove people in your first year.
You bring up a good point about Woodward. Now, as a rookie manager, I don't know if you caught the game on Saturday or not. He made, I think, two very crucial mistakes in the Astros game. First, you know, Rougned Odor finally gets on base after God knows how long. But then immediately after he gets on base, Woodward gives him a green light to steal second. He gets caught stealing. Andrews, I think a few innings later, gets in the batter's box, gets on base. Woodward gives him the green light to go. You know, they're down 5 runs at this point. Now, I don't know, you know, the intricacies of baseball managing, if you will. But do you think it's okay for him to make these mistakes this early in his tenure as Rangers manager? Or should he kind of refrain himself a little bit and try to win every game as much as possible, you know, without the risk of you know, essentially conceding early in games?
I would say every situation is different, so I don't want to say this like as a blanket statement.
But what do you think?
I'm okay with it being you play aggressive, and especially when your team is in a rut and you're going to try to create things on offense. If you got to do that stealing bases, that's where we're having a Delino DeShields would help, somebody who can be pretty hard to throw out there if you're able to run and have that dynamic to your team. But I'm never going to be too upset with aggressiveness, especially the way this weekend series went. And like you said, on Saturday, you know, it was 11-4 was the final score. And I know every run counts, and you're trying to, you know, what's an 11-5 game? What does it matter? I think it also just sets a tone for the rest of your team that you're not punting on that game. You're going to be aggressive from out number one to out number 27. And you're going to be there, and your team's going to give it full throttle the whole time. I think there's something to be said for that, and I think Chris Woodward's shown that, one, that he's been a good communicator with players, and I'm sure that was part of the communication with it. Like, look, we're going to be aggressive, and doesn't matter what the score is. I'm sure that's part of it. I don't have much reason to not be a Chris Woodward believer so far, and I think the way he approaches press conferences, for starters, I know you don't win World Series based on press conferences, but he gives very good answers. He lets people kind of behind the curtain a little bit,
very in-depth answers.
He seems to have a very good rapport with players so far, and really, remember, he started the season out with the Shin-Soo Choo opening day decision, which I was there in the locker room in the pregame for that, and
Chu
wasn't happy about it. I can tell you that. He wasn't like throwing chairs, but, you know, he's a very stoic leader in that locker room.
He's a veteran presence.
You know, he's not in the starting lineup, and Woodward had to handle that right before opening day. There was already controversy. You know, they're already asking him there in his pregame meeting in his office about it. But I so far, you know, we can move on here because we spent way more than more time on the Rangers than they probably deserve after that series. But
That's fair.
I guess, I know your final thoughts here. I so far, even though the record doesn't reflect it, I'm all in on Chris Woodward.
So before the season, I made like a little prediction on Twitter saying that I think they'd win 70 games at most for the whole season. After seeing, like,
I think Vegas had him like at 71 or 72.
71, 72. They weren't.
I took the under. I had zero faith.
I'm right there with you
pitching
now.
Pitching staff.
after seeing this series. Look, since April 22nd, they've been 5-13. That's, yeah. I mean, the only good things.
And we've seen their run differential that was, it's gone way
jumped
down.
Up it
was
22 runs this past weekend.
And now it's down to -3. Like, it's they were near the top of baseball in a lot of that regard because
it was one series against the Astros.
And that's not to say they had great pitching. It's because they were scoring that many runs. Like, the offense was just on fire. And now it's reverted back to, well, I guess, what a lot of people expect.
It's a very streaky lineup. I'll finish this out by saying I don't see them winning even 68 games this year.
So you're done. You've checked out on them.
I'm kind of in the process of checking out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much there to join you. So he's Kevin Correa. I'm Taylor Phillips. You're listening to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast here on KESN1033.com. Now, for those not familiar, Kevin hosts a podcast on KESN1033.com as well called Free to Play, which focuses on esports, not just globally, but here in DFW as well. And I think esports is a good topic for this week's edition of Most Interesting.
It's time for the most interesting thing from the week in baseball.
You gotta like that open, right, Kevin?
I do like that open. Chris needs to work on his little most interesting man impression, though.
Yeah, you know what, though? The fact that he was able to say it with such, like, class.
He had confidence. You know, 10 points for confidence.
He wasn't trying to do the voice. I feel like I would judge him real hard if he tried to do, like, a Hispanic voice in that, so.
The most interesting man in the world.
Ooh, I need to have you do it.
There you go. I wouldn't mind.
Ooh, we have, like, dueling most interesting opens.
Ooh.
There we go. Plus,
you got room in that budget for me?
Oh, boy. I'm using Chris's voice twice, so clearly I can use all the help I can get.
Fair point.
I need some help there for my imaging, but so for this week's edition of Most Interesting, you brought this article to my attention. So, like, I wanted to talk esports with you anyway, because that's your calling card here. That's what has made you famous here in ESPN 103.3 FM. And I think what you talk about, because why I like your podcast is one, there's not a lot of people, frankly, in this market that focus on it. There's a million Cowboys, quote unquote, insiders around here. There's tons of people that cover the Mavericks, and then to a lesser extent, the Stars and the Rangers. There's not a lot of voices for esports, and so, you know, before we get into this article about baseball's future in esports, you know, what drew you to it, and what made you feel like there's a niche for this, just from a sports media standpoint?
Well, let's see. Like, I've always been interested in video games, but interested isn't enough to just, you know, get you passionate for a topic or anything like that. What drew me to the sport was, one, the lack of coverage, like you said. Not a lot of people are covering it. I've met a few guys, maybe like one guy from the Dallas Morning News who occasionally goes to these events, and another guy who sometimes finds the time to go to, you know, a Mavs gaming thing or something. But, you know, you never see anybody jumping into it full time. And for me, it's just like, there's an open hole right there in the market that needs to be filled by somebody. And, you know, somebody with, I'd hope, a traditional radio / sports background, of course. And so I just kind of, when I started the podcast back in January, and I just went, like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. And then as I started episode 1, 2, and 3, I was like, all right, let me get in contact with the guys over at Team Envy, literally across the plaza from our studios right now. I got in contact with them. I got their CEO on. I got a few guys from Complexity, the Cowboys' new esports department, I guess, up in Frisco. I got in touch with them. They sent me their CEO. It's just like, this is actually something that esports organizations are receptive to. If somebody just gives them the attention, people will listen. And they have a huge fan base, just a following behind them. It makes no sense not to, you know, cover them in any sense.
Yeah, and I think where we can, because we're a part of meetings up here, and we hear about radio trends and listenership and the rise of podcasts, and I think one thing that gets brought up a lot is how to appeal to younger listeners or younger viewers, if it's television or whatever. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm an audience research expert, but my, I guess, only qualifier for what I'm about to say is I worked at a daycare for like 6 years.
That's enough.
Seven
man.
Years.
That's
so,
a qualifier for sure.
Or no, 5 years, like 5 or 6 years. And I see how kids,
wait, hold on. How old were
this
the kids?
Was from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Did you change diapers at all?
No.
Bodily fluids?
I would have quit that all after the first
just
day.
Just making sure.
No, it was after in elementary school. It was an after school program in Allen.
All right.
Through Allen ISD. And I can tell you just from watching how kids, whether they talk about sports or what they're watching on their phones or whatever, I can tell you, you see a lot of NBA, you know, jerseys, a lot of Steph Curry. All the Steph Curry jerseys. You
soon
see
to be Seth Curry jerseys if the NBA playoffs are
we'll see how
trending
Portland
my
does.
Way.
And you have a lot of people wearing soccer jerseys as well, I've noticed, which people find that hard to believe, especially where we live, where, you know, the Cowboys dominate everything. We don't hear a lot of FC Dallas talk.
No, we don't.
But you see, I saw a lot of soccer jerseys. I saw a lot of NBA jerseys, and I felt like a real correlation for that was those are two of the best-selling video games, NBA 2K games, FIFA games. It's impossible, whether it be a college dorm, whether it be in high school, adults even our age, you know, we're past the college age, but there's still, you go over to someone's house, they're wanting to play NBA 2K, they're wanting to play FIFA, they're wanting to play Madden. And it's definitely evident when you're watching the younger generation that the reason these sports can continue to grow is because they have video game presences where even if you can't play the game, like, look, I'm not a good soccer player. I never played in my life. But playing FIFA video games keeps me wanting to pay attention to the sport a little bit more. And there's
you
see
engaged.
It on TV. And you see it on TV as well. But
yeah.
But I guess where I'm pointing to, I'm giving a very long-winded setup to this. But baseball is very far behind in this.
100%.
And you sent me the article where it talks about, this is back from in March, where Rob Manfred addressed it, and he said baseball will make a better stride for that.
Starting this year
in the future. And I feel like that's something that's been very long overdue for baseball.
About 5 years overdue. I think Madden and the NFL had a partnership for like the past 6 years. FIFA and you know, other soccer organizations have been together for, you know, better part of a decade, I think, at this point. NBA and NBA 2K started their, you know, their 2K league with, you know, every basketball team having their own esport team in the NBA 2K league. It's just like, MLB, where you been at? It's been nothing. And so far, ever since Rob Manfred made that announcement, it's been nothing. It's just been rumors about, you know, well, maybe they'll start sponsoring teams to get into MLB The Show for competition. I've heard nothing of the sort, though. So I'm remaining skeptical on Rob Manfred's comments until I see some physical evidence in front of me, if that makes sense.
It does, and it should be noted, baseball is losing viewership among younger people.
By the thousands, tens of thousands.
I don't even have to bother looking up stats for it because it's talked about all the time, and it's evident with what sports are popular right now, NBA, NFL. People aren't wanting to sit down and watch 3.5-hour baseball games, especially people of younger generation. Like, we're outliers for our age in a sense because, you know, you and I are both 24, 23, around there. Are you 24 or 23?
24.
Okay, so we're both 24.
Yeah.
And people our age aren't really asking to hang out to go watch the latest Dodger, Ranger, whatever game. Like, it doesn't matter. They're wanting to watch, to get up to watch an NFL game, a Cowboy game, whatever. So we could tell how it's not translating well to the younger audience, but that should make it more of a primary goal for Rob Manfred, on top of obviously all the rule changes that people always bring up that we just don't have time to talk about all of them. But it starts with building your game to be more equipped for the future audience, and it's not always about the product on the field. It has to be ancillary stuff like video games and
or merchandising,
but video games in particular. That's how, when there's no baseball going on in January, If your fan base is passionate about playing the video games, still learning about players, still seeing all these brands, and you're still thinking about the game, it just helps people get more excited about it the entire year instead of just opening day to the end of the World Series.
Now, let me just say this. Like, MLB, even though they do have a video game out, MLB The Show, on the PlayStation and all that, but like, even that, it's one console. It doesn't even, you don't have any presence on the other ones. You don't have any presence on PC. There's a PC game called Out of the Park Baseball that's literally a simulator. It's not even an actual, like, you know, you hit button and the guy swings. You build a roster, you simulate the season, and if whatever your roster comes out with, that's what it is. They don't have any real presence in this, you know, in this department. And it's disappointing, to say the least, because, you know, you see all these other teams, all these other organizations, they're succeeding. You know, around DFW, who do you see wearing more jerseys for certain teams? You see more Rangers jerseys out there? Cowboys?
Really.
FC Dallas? Mavericks? Stars? I saw a lot of, you know, green jerseys walking up into the building just now. And
yeah,
it's just like, what are you doing that what are you trying to do to get these younger fans involved in your sport?
So I think you bring up a good point here. This was going to be my next question, was I think a baseball video game could definitely get a redoing. It definitely can get a makeover. I feel like playing the traditional game, even though baseball purists wouldn't mind it, I had no issue playing games like The Show or...
And The Show's great, don't get me
wrong. MVP Baseball, you know, there's so many... And the
2K...
2K games, yeah, I forgot they had 2K games. They don't have 2K MLB games anymore, do
not
they?
Not anymore. MLB revoked the license.
You remember the... like, had Justin Verlander on the cover. This is like 2K12, I think. And they had like the perfect game... Or 2K11, yeah. And they like the perfect game challenge. Like, you throw a perfect game on like a certain lobby and then you can get entered to win like however much money to do it.
$1 million and meet Justin Verlander and Kate Upton and something crazy like that.
Like, everybody's using Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw. Like, someone's going to have to do it with those kind of guys.
Ridiculously OP pitchers and just...
And you're playing against... who are some of the bad teams in the And you're playing against like the Padres,
the Marlins,
yeah, back then, and yeah. So you those were so much fun. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, not everybody wants to play those. If they're not going to watch real baseball, playing a video game of it might help a little bit. But do they need to go back to just making games like Slugfest? Because just make them all tricked out where you're fighting dudes and you can flip bats and all that, or
backyard baseball,
bring that back. Or do you remember the Bigs?
Oh my lord,
you know, with like the power ups, or God, like I used to use Manny Ramirez on the first Bigs game
Prince
with the Dodgers
Fielder or something like that.
Yeah. Joe Nathan had like a 150-mile-an-hour fastball with like his power up. It was unhittable.
That's dumb.
Do they need to just get back to just, let's just trick up the video games to just make them insane?
What they need to do is just give out that license just to like any company that wants, any developer that wants to make a game about baseball. Just like, hey, we want to use all the rosters for major league teams. Can you just give us a license? We'll develop a game. We'll publish it. It'll sell, you know, million copies or so. Why not just let us try it? But they're just so... I don't know if that's the direction they're going in this year, just trying to give out the license a little bit more and have more developers involved and make more baseball-related games. But it's just like there's been no wind of it. It's just we're stuck with The Show and whatever other baseball simulator we can find online. And that's just kind of disappointing because MLB just needs to stop putting the blinders on and focus on the sport itself and say, like you said, the ancillary things. Because it's whatever they're doing isn't working, whatever they're trying to do isn't evident, and whatever they're moving towards, like I'm not seeing anything that tells me they're gonna grow as a sport. Everything I'm seeing is trending downwards. NBA upwards, NFL probably more than upwards.
Take the anthem out of it stuff. There's people still care. I mean, I know that they have their issues with the national anthem stuff a couple years ago and domestic violence stuff.
People care, but they also still watch, which is weird.
No, they're going to watch. Yeah.
Like, come on. Baseball's numbers are all down. Across the board, streaming, on TV, everything across the board is down.
You have to win at the future. And when baseball figures out how to do that, whether it be rule changes, video games, whatever, you can't really call it America's game anymore, America's pastime. It may have been at one point, but now it's definitely third, maybe fourth tier in this country if you want to throw college football in there. But Kevin, I have taken up way too much of your time. Thanks for coming up here to join me tonight on this podcast. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I also got to say congrats to Hyunjin Ryu. He got the player NL Player of the Week.
Yep.
After he 8 innings of one hit ball.
He had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. Gerardo Parra hit a double. This was on Sunday night, May 12th, the Dodgers and Nationals. And he's had two back-to-back starts now where, look, we don't have enough time to get into my Dodger geeking out. But as long as Hyunjin Ryu can stay healthy, which has been something he has not done his entire career and it started in 2013 with the Dodgers, he can have some of the best stuff in baseball.
He's blossoming, man.
And
I love
right
it.
Now, finally seeing him healthy and turning into what he needs to be. That would be huge for a Dodger team that is turning into the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball. So,
hey, round of applause. Round of applause, man.
Yeah, man. Good for Ryu. And, well, if you want to hear Kevin's podcast, Free to Play, you can go to KESN1033.com, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, right? You're a
pretty
lot
much.
Better about putting yours out there than mine.
I try, man. Hey, if you need some help, let me know. I'll just, you know.
I might need to do that.
I don't know if there's room in the budget for me again, but, hey, I'm more than happy to... take a friendly discount for you.
It would be a smart move on my part to get the esports expert to help me out with internet and podcasting stuff. That would be a smart play on my part. Well, Kevin, thanks again for joining me tonight. That is it for the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name is Taylor Phillips. If you want to hear future episodes, past episodes, and you want to tell other people to listen to the podcast, go to KESN1033.com. Thank you to my producer, Chris Gross, who also hosts a podcast for KESN1033.com called Can I Get a Podcast with Jeffrey Cooperstein. Make sure you check that out as well. And also check out the ESPN 103.3 FM Pod Hour most Saturdays. Probably more Saturdays now that we're winding down on our NBA playoff coverage. Now that we're down to Western and Eastern Conference Finals time. You can hear the Pod Hour right after the Saturday Sports Brunch at 2 p.m. every Saturday afternoon. You can hear this podcast, Free to Play, Can I Get a Podcast, and probably stuff coming down the pipeline as the year rolls on. So that's it for me. Thank you for listening to the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Talk to you next time. Catch you up on more Major League Baseball and Texas Rangers.
Santa Maria!